Saturday or Friday show was at Amsterdam Bar and Hall, and then Fine Line for Yuffer Yana.
Where's she from?
I think just England, but I'm not 100% on that.
Okay. Well, coming up, we've got local news for you. It'll be the Up North Report. This is 91.7 KEXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXC Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. People-powered radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org.
Support for KAXE comes from the Grand Rapids Area Community Foundation, playing a vital role in connecting charitable intentions with community needs, awarding $30 million in grants and scholarships over the past 30 years to make a lasting impact in our area. More information at gracf.org.
I'm here to tell you that the fog is awfully dense, especially across Highway 2. So tips are don't use your brights. It makes it worse. And that's going to be going on until about 10 a.m. It's going to be sunny for the rest of the day. High 73 to 74. Mostly clear overnight with temperatures 49 to 52 around the region.
And we receive support from the Move It Real Estate Group, assisting clients with real estate purchases and sales for over 25 years, not only in Grand Rapids, but across northern Minnesota. Move to what moves you. More at moveitrealestate.com. And support comes from Paul Bunyan Communications, powered by the GigaZone, offering fiber optic fast internet speeds up to 10 gig and GigaZone Wi-Fi to support devices wirelessly. Paul Bunyan Communications, northern Minnesota's local broadband cooperative. Now it's time for the Up North Report.
For KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with the Up North Report. A 35-year-old woman died in a three-vehicle car crash in Virginia on Friday. The Mesabi Tribune says the crash on 2nd Avenue North was reported just before 3 p.m. Law enforcement found one of the drivers unresponsive, and she did not appear to be breathing. She was later pronounced dead. The two other drivers suffered non-life-threatening injuries. The Tribune reported Friday that the crash was still under investigation. The University of Minnesota's service workers' impending strike has made headlines over the past few weeks, but some Grand Rapids residents may have been surprised to see a picket line when the strike began Tuesday. Six members of Teamsters Local 320 picketed alongside Highway 169. They do maintenance, grounds, and agricultural work at the U's North Central Research and Outreach Center, which shares a campus with Minnesota North College Itasca. The six are just a small part of the open-ended strike. Some 1,400 workers across at least 8 campuses are asking for fair wages and other protections. The university says the demands are, quote, unrealistic in today's financial landscape. Billy O'Brien has been a maintenance and operations mechanic for 3 years and has worked at Nickrock for 10. He says they're striking for equal pay and standardized contracts to increase future negotiating leverage. But they're also out there to fight for college campus workers that haven't gotten the treatment he says they deserve.
We were close to negotiating a good contract. I felt there's just a little bit more that some of the people feel that the university can give, and we're going to try to get that. So
the union says over 80% of workers rejected the university's last offer Friday. Minnesota is joining a growing list of Democratic-leaning states standing up for access to vaccines. Governor Tim Walz issued an executive order Monday. It directs the state departments of health and commerce to figure out how to make sure Minnesotans keep receiving vaccines. The order comes amid quickly changing federal recommendations under Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a prominent anti-vaxxer. The Minnesota Reformer reports that Colorado, Massachusetts, New Mexico, New York, and Pennsylvania issued similar orders after the U.S. Food and Drug Administration said it would limit who can get the COVID-19 vaccine. According to a news release from Walz, Minnesota pharmacists can still give the vaccine, regardless of the recommendations. The reformer says Walz's order is slightly less aggressive than other states. The health department's medical director should issue an order on COVID vaccine access within the next 2 weeks. The department's health insurers and providers have to meet by October 6th to come up with a plan to address barriers to vaccine access. Zebra mussels have been confirmed in 3 more northern Minnesota lakes. The Department of Natural Resources announced the finding of adult zebra mussels in Roosevelt Lake in Outing and Swan Lake in Pengilly on Tuesday, as well as the discovery of villagers in White Earth Lake near White Earth. White Earth Nation invasive species staff found the villagers or larvae in water samples. The discovery suggests a reproducing population, though adult zebra mussels have not yet been found. The DNR reminds boaters that clean, drain, dry rules are state law. Find more on preventing the spread of aquatic invasive species at mndnr.gov/AIS. The Minnesota Department of Transportation is hosting an open house on Highway 169 road safety improvements. The agency is looking at the 4-lane stretches of the road in Itasca County. The goal of the safety audit is to identify safety issues and propose short, medium, and long-term strategies to address them. Staff will be at the open house at the Nyberg Community Center in Coleraine to answer questions and hear feedback. The event starts at 5 p.m. Thursday with a short presentation at 5:15. Find more information and other ways to comment at kaxe.org. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
And you are listening to the Wednesday Morning Show here on member-supported KAXE KBXE. Coming up next, we're going to hear more from Morning Edition, talking about the Israel strike fallout that happened, and that'll be coming up just shortly. We receive support from AW Research Laboratories, located in Brainerd, providing water testing for private wells, real estate, lakes, and wastewater since 1972, online at awlab.com.
We'd also like to thank The Sewing Room, hosting the Cultivating Communities Summit September 22nd and 23rd in Brainerd. This 2-day event features keynotes, interactive workshops, live music, and a special film screening. Full details can be found at sewingroom.org.
And coming up later in the show is Area Voices, my chance to talk with the, I would say, infamous Kevin Cease, talking about his upcoming one-man show that's going to be going on at Bemidji Community Theater this weekend, and that'll be coming up around 8:45.
When I heard about this interview, I wondered if you, after talking to him, have any interest in a one-man show.
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh, really?
I don't even know what I would do. I'm not my thing is my stories I tell are never long. I don't have long stories.
Okay.
Mine are pretty short.
All right.
So I would run through all my stories in,
be done.
10 minutes.
Okay. It'll be interesting to hear about that, the taking on of a one-man show that's coming up on Area Voices before 9 o'clock when Malachi Coons is our host for Headwaters.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Leila Faldin.
And I'm Michelle Martin. Good morning. The suburbs of Qatar's capital, Doha, were rocked with explosions yesterday after Israel bombed Hamas's office and its residences there.
It marks the first attack of its kind by Israel on Qatar, a U.S. ally that's been hosting Hamas leaders in exile and is a mediator in the war in Gaza. In a few minutes, we'll hear directly from an official with the Qatari government on how they plan to respond. But first,
here to tell us more about the attack and the fallout is NPR international correspondent Aya Batraoui, who is in Doha this morning. Aya, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Michelle.
So could you just start with explaining what exactly happened in Qatar yesterday?
Sure. So it was just before 4 p.m. here when explosions rang out in the capital in several locations. Videos showed pedestrians screaming and running for cover on the street. And Doha is a city where the last FIFA World Cup was played. It's a major international travel hub. And this is where Trump came in May and lavished praise on the leadership here because it hosts thousands of U.S. troops. So this was a stunning attack. And Israel's military claimed responsibility for it, saying it was targeting senior Hamas leaders who it says were, quote, directly responsible for the October 7th attack of 2023 on Israel. Now, one of the bombings targeted Hamas's office here in Doha. This is where I and other reporters have sat in interviews with the group's political leaders, some of whom say the decision to attack Israel actually came from its military wing inside Gaza on October 7th, not from them, that they did not have prior knowledge of it. Either way, Israel missed its target. It did not kill any senior Hamas officials. Instead, it killed six people, according to Hamas, among them a Hamas official's son, the head of his office, three others with no titles with Hamas, and a Qatari security officer.
And what is Qatar saying about this attack?
Well, Qatar's prime minister describes this as state terrorism, and Qataris say they had no forewarning of the attack. So speaking from a podium last night, Qatar's prime minister said the attack on Qatar's soil is a message to the region that Israel is a rogue player and that this attack is proof that Israel has worked to sabotage every attempt to achieve peace. And here I'll note that Qatar says its role as mediator and as host of Hamas's political leaders in exile has long been at the behest of successive U.S. administrations. And also keep in mind that for nearly 2 years now, Qatar and Egypt have served as mediators between Israel and Hamas, hosting both sides in talks, some of them here at hotels in Doha, where mediators shuffle between floors to deliver messages between the two sides. And they've successfully mediated during Israel's war in Gaza the release of Israeli hostages and Palestinian detainees, though a deal to end the war remains out of reach. Now, it is hard to see how Qatar might actually come and host Israel's top security brass here again after these attacks, or if Hamas would remain in Doha, especially given that Israel did not achieve its mission here.
So as we understand this, Israel just tried to kill the Hamas officials who are responsible for negotiating ceasefire proposals, if I have that right. So how might this attack affect those efforts to end the war in Gaza?
That is correct, yeah. And this was a unilateral Israeli decision, according to President Trump. He spoke with Qatar's emir after the attack yesterday and said the U.S. was not on board with it. Now, what we're hearing from Israeli officials like the defense minister and others is they're calling this now a, quote, message. They say Israel will continue to pursue Hamas and that if the group does not surrender, they and Gaza will be annihilated. So what this means for the war is that for people in Gaza, they're suffering displacement. The killing of civilians every day continues with no end in sight. And the families of Israeli hostages still held in Gaza say the chance of bringing them back now faces greater uncertainty than ever before.
That is NPR international correspondent Aya Bertrawi. Aya, thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
For more on this, we now turn to the advisor to Qatar's prime minister and the official spokesperson for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Majid Al-Ansari. He's on the line from Doha in Qatar. Mr. Ansari, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Does Qatar plan to respond to Israel's attack on your country?
We have taken all measures to respond to this flagrant attack against our sovereignty. We have established a legal team headed by the Minister of State, Dr. Al-Khlaifi, to discuss all possible legal and diplomatic avenues where we can address this attack. We have already sent a letter to the UN Security Council, and there will be a session by the Security Council over this, and we are talking to all of our partners in the region and beyond to take a very strong position against the actions of Prime Minister Netanyahu that has driven Israel into being a pariah and rogue state in the region. And we want to make it very clear that this will never happen again. And we will not allow the Prime Minister Netanyahu to endanger the lives not only of Qatari, the residents living here in Qatar, but the region as a whole. He is a saboteur in chief, responsible for sabotaging any chance of peace in the region. And the biggest message yet is bombing the mediator in order to send a very clear message that even those who work for the cause of peace are now targets.
Well, let me ask you about that. I mean, the Hamas political office was set up in your country over a decade ago at the behest of the United States, and Qatar's role as a negotiator with the group was requested by successive U.S. administrations. After this attack, will Qatar continue to play the role of negotiator if it makes your country unsafe?
You know, it will take more than an international bully like Prime Minister Netanyahu to change the DNA of the Qatari people. We have always been powers for peace. We have always been facilitating and mediating for peaceful outcomes. This is part of our constitution. It is part of our national identity, and it will remain so.
Will you continue to mediate on this ceasefire deal? Are prospects for peace going to continue through Qatar?
obviously, when one party asks us to deliver a proposal to the other side, and then when we start meeting with the other side for these proposals, they bomb our country, they bomb the mediator and the places where the talks were taking place. It sends a very clear message that there is nothing valid in the talks right now. We will not stop our efforts to end the genocide of the people of Gaza, end the crimes of Prime Minister Netanyahu over the peoples of the region in Lebanon and Syria and in Palestine and now in Qatar. But we are now, of course, assessing the situation and talking to our partners internationally to assure them that Prime Minister Netanyahu has been always there at the curb at any chance of peace to derail the talks, either by assassinating people on the other side or, as we have seen now, by attacking the mediators themselves with impunity.
You call Prime Minister Netanyahu a bully. Given how you describe him, will Hamas officials remain in Qatar if they're a target? If they're a target of Israel, will Hamas officials remain in Qatar?
This is a decision to be taken by the highest echelons of leadership here in Qatar. At the moment, what we are busy with is our security forces and MOI, Ministry of Interior forces, and the Civil Defense Forces, and the ISF, the Internal Security Force, are all there in the location constantly since this attack happened, trying to identify the fallen Qatari security force people and the who are there in the location. We are concerned right now with our own national security, with the safety of people here in Doha, and making sure that everything that can be taken as a precaution is taken right now in that location and beyond. And I think there will be a moment where the political decisions will be taken on a lot of issues, but right now our main focus is on our sovereignty, our national security, and in making sure that this attack does not go unanswered.
The U.S. seemed largely caught off guard by this attack. President Trump said he was very unhappy about it and called Qatar's emir to assure him it would never happen again. The White House also said they warned your government through U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff that the attack was coming. You disputed that online. Did the U.S. warn Qatar or did it not?
The call that came to Qatar was 10 minutes after the attack. There was no warning before the attack, and as we have heard from our interlocutors in the U.S. and the calls that were made yesterday, the warning by Israel to the U.S. did not come before the attack, and therefore there was no way for the U.S. to warn us, but they have immediately called us 10 minutes after the attack to inform us of its happening. So this was a treacherous attack. There was absolutely no warning, and the region, the neighborhood where this attack happened, is a residential neighborhood, where the location was known by your reporters and other people around Doha very openly, where the talks were taking place with the Hamas delegation. So it was not a secret location or a hidden location. A neighborhood includes a lot of diplomatic installations, embassies and such, and the schools and nurseries right next to that building. So we've conveyed all of this to the U.S. side, and we have received very clear confirmation that the U.S. was not consulted about this attack, does not condone this attack, and that the U.S. will make sure that it doesn't happen again through its partnership with Qatar.
How will it assure, I mean, the president called the emir to assure it would not happen again, but how will the U.S. assure that it won't happen again if it didn't want it to happen in the first place?
I mean, I would ask that question of the Trump administration, but we have full trust that working with the administration in the past had made a lot of our security strategic positions stronger, and it's a partnership that we believe in with the U.S. The institutional relationship between Qatar and the U.S. has always been strong, and we rely on our partners in the U.S. To make sure that Netanyahu is kept at bay and is no longer able to throw the whole region into chaos. This is a warmonger that is basing his policy decisions around the region on narcissism and political ambitions that don't go beyond staying in power for no more than 1 month. And as an international community, with the help of the U.S., we want to work to make sure that he is never able to do that again.
That's Majid Al-Ansari, advisor to Qatar's prime minister and official spokesperson for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Thank you for your time. This is NPR News.
It is 7:19, and you're listening to the Wednesday Morning Show here on KAXE KBXE People Power Radio. My name is Andrew DeZingle, and I'm here with Heidi Holton.
Morning, Andrew.
Good morning. The sun is out now.
That's right. I got to see the moon kind of peeking out of the fog as I drove over, and hopefully you are being safe out there. I didn't know. I was worried about deer jumping out because I recently hit a deer with our other car for the first time in my entire life.
Oh, wow.
It never happened to me before. I never said that out loud because I figured I would jinx myself. But here I am. Anyway, I was worried about that as I drove, you know, in the fog because you can't see a darn thing as you come over. Have you hit a deer before?
No, I have. I think I hit a skunk once.
Oh,
that was rough.
And actually, hit a deer is not the right way to say it. The deer definitely hit me.
Oh, yeah.
It dove into our car. Like, it was intentional. It was after us. I don't know what the deal was. It was hunting. It was very surprising. But anyway, I did not hit a deer today. But I'm here, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We got a lot of things going on. You've been talking about TV that you have been. What did you say earlier?
I was watching. I'm visiting the show Deadwood, which came out back in the early 2000s. But
Tom loved that show. But yeah, filthy language, right?
Yeah, an old-timey filthy language.
Well, you can't ask for much more. That's fantastic.
But yeah, so we're talking about our question of the week. We're looking for your favorite TV shows as we head into the season where there's not as much outdoor activities. It's getting colder outside. The sun is setting sooner. Mm-hmm. Time to curl up with a nice blanket and a nice warm glow of the TV.
That's what I thought I was doing last night. And the warm glow of the TV was the Minnesota Lynx games. They played Indiana Fever and they lost. It was a tough game. They ended up losing by maybe only 8 points, but throughout, there were times they were down 20.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. I mean, they're the top in the league, the playoffs, all the games will be in Minnesota, the final games, and that's starting up soon. They only have, I think, one regular game left, but they were playing their bench a little more, I guess, but it was a tough one to watch. I kind of had wished I hadn't watched the whole thing, but there's some good moments. I'm excited for the finals and watching the Lynx, and hopefully that was just kind of saving themselves because they've got a lot ahead. Is that how it works in sports?
Yeah, I don't think so. That's what our football team would do, and just play the bench to prevent from the top players getting hurt or anything.
Like they had Nafisha Collier wasn't even dressed. You know, she wasn't on the roster for the night, which makes sense. But anyway, they'll be playing again on Thursday night, and then we get into finals, so that should be a lot of fun. And then this year, this isn't TV shows, except it kind of is. This year, I get the thing, because they started last year, the 3-on-3. So usually, you know, WNBA season is shorter than, say, NBA. But now we've got the Winter League that'll start up after the first of the year of the 3-on-3, and I loved that last year. So,
oh yeah,
basketball's not over yet for women's basketball, so should be a lot of fun.
So, are you like I've been on record? Like, I don't watch a whole lot of TV shows because I'm much more into movies now these days. Mm. Back in the day, I was trying to watch every TV show that was like even minorly critically acclaimed TV show, and I think it burned me out. So now I'm more of a movie guy, where it's just like one and done stories, you know. But
I'm probably more TV, I would say. I'm excited for, I just feel like this is really boring for you, but there's a new Great British Baking show that's on Netflix, and we're sort of saving it. They dole them out week by week, old fashioned and old timey like. Mm-hmm. So I think we've got two or three ahead of us when we sit down to watch it, which is kind of fun. That's a show I love that makes me feel really good. It is British people that are actually, it's more about being kind to the people who have to go home that week than the winner.
Mm-hmm.
It's so kind. It's just the loveliest, loveliest thing ever. So that's a show I love. There's a new season of The Diplomat coming out, which I really enjoyed with Carrie Russell.
Oh, yeah, The Diplomat. Yep,
it's really good. Allison, Janny's in it, and she's amazing. So that's coming out in October, I think. And then the final season of Queer Eye is going to be coming in December, which makes me sad because it's such a great show. But anyway, that will be coming out, and that's something that I absolutely adore. It is such a good feeling show.
So the show that I've been watching recently, it's on Netflix. It's called Too Much, and it's made by Lena Dunham, who mm-hmm. made Girls and stuff like that.
What are you thinking of it?
So I was watching it with my girlfriend, and we criticized every episode we watched, but we watched the whole season.
Okay, all right.
But we had our complaints
yeah.
of just like, I don't know if they knew that they only had one season, or they were kind of banking on, well, just in case we only have one season, we're going to do a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
Kind of thing. That's what it felt like to me.
Did you watch Girls?
Yes, I loved Girls.
Okay, so I never saw Girls. I did watch just a few episodes of, what's the show called again?
Too Much?
Yeah. Didn't love it. Wasn't my favorite.
She is. The main character is, dare I say, too much sometimes.
Yes, she is. She very much is. She is on the show Hacks, which I love. Hacks. She's a little too much on Hacks as well, but she's not the main character on it. So that's a great show that I'm excited will be coming back. I wasted my time for some reason. I always watch Sex in the City during the, you know, heyday. And then when it came back, I watched it, and the first couple of seasons were good, and now I'm like, why am I even watching it? It's finally done. I did watch it, and so I fall for some of those sorts of things. Morning Show's going to finally be back after like 3 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, too, I don't know why I'm still sticking around. First season was great. It was at the exact right moment to do that show where the whole Today Show Matt Lauer thing was happening in real life. And Steve Carell played the Matt Lauer character.
Oh, yeah.
And it was fantastic. But it's like, then they had to keep going, apparently. But it's some great acting. I mean, I love, like, is it Mark or Jay Duplass is in it? I think.
I could see either.
Yeah. The kind of blonder hair, not curly haired guy.
Mark, then.
Yeah. He's amazing in that show. I absolutely love it. Same with Billy Crudup.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. He's really good. So there's some great, great acting in it. So that's why I kind of stay with it.
So there is a bunch of TV shows I own that I haven't watched yet. So one of them, and my friend Tom will attest to this because he keeps making fun of me for it. But I have the entire series, speaking of Kerry Russell, The Americans.
Mm.
I have every season on DVD or Blu-ray. But I haven't watched a single episode of it, but I think I'm going to really like it. I just need to eventually sit down and watch it. Even, I believe, the franchise, Jen Kellen, has even watched The Americans and has told me to watch it. But
I never saw that. That's one that I always think I probably would like. I did buy it, though, like you. But I have always thought that might be. I like to find something, like, after the first of the year when we're fully in winter,
mm-hmm.
find some new show for me that has a few seasons. Like, that's a really kind of exciting thing to dig into, especially when we're in the midst of winter.
Yeah, I'm more hesitant to jump into shows now where, like you said, like with the Sex and the City thing of like, why am I even watching this anymore, where some shows just go on for too long. And so now I'm kind of more hesitant. If it's like a 3-season show, I'm like, perfect, let's go.
Yeah. Do you ever rewatch?
Yes, I just rewatched all of Seinfeld recently, and it was a blast.
I kind of want to. I've already watched it twice since it was on, but I love Parks and Rec so much.
Oh.
I might want to watch Parks and Rec again come winter. Just because I'm listening to Amy Poehler podcast, and mm-hmm. she's having some of the people on from the show. She said Aubrey Plaza on, and it was fantastic. And that's just such a good show. Sometimes it's nice to watch something you've seen before, especially if it's been a little while, you know, and to mm-hmm. see it again. It makes you feel good, you know, kind of what's coming, right? Isn't there some psychological study?
Yeah, there
study
is some
that?
Psychological study of like.
Or is there? People are just saying that. Just I don't people know if that's who, true.
Why can't I just watch the show over and over?
I know. We'd love to hear from you. 218-326-1234. That is the number to text us. It looks like we did have a text coming through. Laura said she just watched The Listers on YouTube. It is a documentary about two 20-somethings that decide to take a year to birdwatch, traveling all over, even to the Saxon Bog. Super fun. They had never birdwatched before.
Oh.
The Listers. That's interesting. Thanks, Laura.
All right. Now it's time for our KBXE From the Vault thing. And
he's not letting me look at what this vinyl is.
Well, do you want to look at it?
Oh, are you kidding me? That's great.
So we like to play something from the KBXE vinyl library. We've got a whole bunch of records here as a way to encourage our Bemidji volunteers to, you know, go back there and check out what we got. There's so much music to play from. And today we're going with Pat Benatar, which I was surprised to see we had.
Yeah.
And it's her album Get Nervous. Now, I bet you're thinking I'm going to play Shadows of the Night.
I don't know. I wasn't thinking anything. I just was surprised.
Well, I'm not playing Shadows tonight. I'm going to play a little song called Little Too Late.
Tell me that was the reason.
All right, that was Pat Benatar with Little Too Late from her album Get Nervous. That was from the Vault, KBXC Vinyl Library.
Good choice.
Encouragement to all our volunteers to check out the vinyl library here at KBXC Studios. And
when you give people tours, I think that's one of the things they cannot believe. Like,
yeah, it's
what?
Like a walls of vinyl.
Yeah, and we don't even have that much vinyl at KAXC. I always say to them, you should see KBXC. There's a whole special room where there's vinyl. But yeah, it's so much fun to give people tours of either station, and they can't believe, like, the look. If someone's a music person and they get to walk into our music libraries, the looks on their faces, they're just like, wow.
Yeah, you just want to look at what is everything here.
Yeah, and people can't believe that, like, we're not all computerized, that we use vinyl or CDs, you know. And I kind of explain it to them that, like, the stations that do that, usually they're only pulling a couple of songs off of a CD to put into their computer system. We don't want that to happen. We want them to choose the song like you chose from Pat Benatar. That one probably wouldn't have been in the computer system because it wasn't her top hit, you know. It was a great song.
And it's nothing against Shadows of the Night. It's a fine Pat Benatar song, but I wanted to hear Little Too Late.
Yeah, there we go. We love hearing from you. If you want to tell us about TV that you recommend, we just heard from Susan, who is checking in about the TV show, Susan from Cotton. She said, just a fun little sitcom my husband and I like to watch for laughs. I knew they were going to say this. Corner Gas. I have heard about the show so much. It's set in rural Canada, and it is often laugh out loud funny, plus it reflects some of our own rural life. Did you watch Schitt's Creek?
Some of it, yeah.
Can we even talk to each other anymore after that comment? Oh, I loved that show so much.
I enjoyed it. My parents love it, but I enjoy it.
Oh, fighting words.
And now a message paid for by the Minnesota Department of Health. Sometimes you just need to talk about it, but it can be hard to find someone who really listens. That's why there's 988. With support that meets you where you are. Confidential and staffed by trained folks who want to help when you need someone to talk to. Call or text 988 or chat online at 988lifeline.org.
We also received support this morning from Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more online at hottubsmn.com.
And we received support from the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, dedicated to conserving the rich ecological landscape of Minnesota, offering memberships, educational camps, and habitat projects. More information available at mndeerhunters.com.
Probably still some fog out there. Sunny skies for the rest of our day, 73 to 74 with calm winds, mostly clear overnight, 49 to 52. Southeast winds around 5 and widespread fog tomorrow, Thursday, mostly sunny. Chance of rain in the evening, high 70 to 74. And by Friday, chance of showers and thunderstorms, temperatures in the high 70s.
It's time now for best wishes. We do our best to wish our friends and neighbors happy birthday and happy anniversary for today, September 10th.
Happy anniversary to Terry Radovich and Randy Demanique. I don't remember how to say it. From Cohasset, though. Terry and Randy, happy anniversary.
And in Virginia, Don Koski in Virginia, celebrating his 64th birthday today. Happy birthday. And Debbie Robinson in Cass Lake, turning 70 today. Happy birthday.
Dawn Snow celebrates her 66th from Blaine.
Now we're going to play a tune for the birthdays and anniversaries. This is a band called Lettuce. The song is called Rising to the Top.
I know.
And that was the band Lettuce with Rising to the Top from their new album, Cook. If you have a birthday or anniversary you'd like to share, you can text us at 218-326-1234. We'd love to hear from you. You're listening to the Wednesday Morning Show. I'm Andrew DeZingle here with Heidi Holton. And time now for our monthly segment, Twist and Sprout, where Beltrami County Master Gardeners join us to give plant advice. This month, we're talking weeds. Here now to join us is Dan Sherman. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Thank you for having me.
So with the kind of growing season wrapping up, why are we talking weeds now?
Okay. Well, it's too late. controlling the weeds and getting rid of the weed seeds is something you can do now, and you can start making plans for next year.
Okay, so what are some steps people can take to get rid of weed seeds?
I don't have an answer for that.
Oh.
I'm looking for one. This has been my worst year of gardening ever.
Oh, no.
Because of weeds. I talked to another gardener early last week, and she said, I just want to get this year over with, and... Wow. My sentiments exactly. I want this year to be over with.
Okay, so we need to hear about your garden then. What happened?
Well, I have a special weed that most people don't have in the area yet. It's called a galanzoga or quickweed.
Okay.
And it starts off small and it looks like, oh, this isn't any problem. And then all of a sudden it takes off quick.
Oh.
I think that's where it gets the word for
quickweed.
It. Quickweed. And it's... my stuff is almost 30 feet tall, and my plants aren't that tall. It's just everywhere, and I just want to get it over with. And I'll be studying this topic all winter long and see if I come up with a better program.
So you mentioned that a lot of people don't have this weed yet. Where do you know where this weed is coming from? That it's
well, it originated in South America, and they have a special dish that they make out of there, the soup that they make. Hmm. I've never tried it. Whenever I've tried eating weeds, they've always tasted like weeds. With one exception. There's one that tastes like sour apples, and I can eat that one. I could put that in a salad, but lamb's quarter tastes like weed to me, and so does some of the others.
What's the sour apple weed?
It's... if I don't write it down beforehand.
I know.
Yeah. I'll have it in a moment or
okay,
two here.
Okay.
I'll come back to it.
Sounds good.
So, you mentioned that you're not the only one who's been having a trouble with weeds this year. Why do you think it is that this year was such a strong year for weeds?
Well, weeds are just a fact of gardening. I have another friend that's been gardening for 50 years, and I think they got out of gardening because of this same weed in the Turtle River area. But it's at the fairgrounds, too. There's a little bit of it.
Mm.
If you have good soil, it really takes advantage of that. The fairgrounds doesn't have good soil. So it's there, but it's not taking over everything
mm-hmm.
like it is here. Everybody has a different weed that they despise. This one is tops them all.
So how have you tried to get rid of it? Are there any?
Well, I'm not totally organic, but I'm pretty organic. So I don't use a lot of chemicals. I've just used the mechanical forms, pulling.
Okay.
But this gets so tall and the weeds intertwine and it roots everywhere and you can't pull it out without pulling out your...
Oh, so it attaches to the... Okay.
And it's just shades everything out. And I hardly have carrots this year. I've always had carrots.
Huh. I wonder, same here. We're not great at weeding, but I didn't know why we weren't getting carrots this year. But I wonder...
You'd know it if it was this one.
Okay.
So how tall... You said it was feet high.
Nearly 3 feet tall after a while. It just takes off and it's... The University of Minnesota recommends integrated pest management for all of their weed problems and insect problems. And that's a system where you have a number of different alternatives, including mechanical, physical removal or hoeing, but before you use chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And there are chemicals that I think aren't very harmful. You can put vinegar on things, and there's a popular type of chemical that I've seen in stores that's a it's a oh, I'm forgetting this one again now too. It's a bugger getting old. It's bleach.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and those are dissipate real quickly, but and I've tried a lot of other things too.
So with the weeding situation, like you mentioned that it's never too early to start thinking about getting the new season of crop. Mm-hmm. So how is there like a way to, do you just like burn these weeds to get rid of them, or like what do you do with them after them so you keep them from regrowing in your yard?
If you're starting a new plot, a good way to get the weeds out of it to begin with, there's a process called solarization, or that's when you use a clear piece of plastic and you put that on for about 6 or 8 weeks and everything gets cooked underneath.
Oh, okay.
If you use a black or a dark colored tarp, it's called occultation. I think they're playing with her words a little bit more there. It's not catching on very well. But you can put that over the top and just let it set. But you need some time during the summer. It's too late to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
So that establishes, that's a good way of taking care of large patches. I've seen conservation groups have done large areas, maybe up to a quarter of an acre at a time. And then they can reestablish and get rid of quack grass because it just cooks under there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that can be done ahead of time, and I'm hoping to practice tomorrow of that.
Yeah, so when would you do that, like in April?
Well, it's not going to get very hot in April, but it's okay to put it on in April, just leave it on longer. But yeah, you need 6 or 8 weeks to
that's what I was wondering.
Work. It's too late for the season.
Mm-hmm.
But I might do a sixth of my garden. I might put under that tarp like that.
So getting rid of weeds, like, it's probably a gardener's least favorite part of the process. Mm-hmm. Like, do you have a method of getting into the mindset of getting into weeding?
Well, I'm good at weeding up until about the 4th of July, but after the 4th of July, I've done enough of it already. So it's motivating myself after the 4th of July to keep weeding, and this weed requires that.
Mm-hmm. And so, do you have like special gloves you wear? Or?
No, I don't wear gloves too often. But
what about the burning weed? That's the one that always terrified me.
Oh,
I get it so bad.
The burning weed.
Yeah, I don't.
Poison ivy.
No, it's not poison ivy. It's like a kind of a prickly one. But every time I touch it, it like feels like I got burned,
oh.
And I have to rub dirt on it. Yeah. My dad doesn't get affected by it, but my grandpa got really affected mm-hmm. by it. So maybe it's just Dzingle thing.
Yeah. The Dzingle burning weed, perhaps. Yeah. No, I think I know what you're talking about too. Like times when I've tried to weed and I don't usually wear gloves. I don't feel like I can feel as much or something, or I don't have gloves that fit me well enough or that kind of thing. So you said that this is affecting your carrots this year. What about other things in your garden? Is it?
I have no onions this year.
Oh.
4 years ago, I had the biggest, beautiful onions ever, and every year that they've been going downhill ever since. And this year, I have zero onions.
Wow!
And I have beautiful pictures from 4 years ago. I thought I was really good. I'm questioning my authority on gardening now because of this.
Is there anything that did really well this year?
Well, my apple trees, they're taller than the weeds, so I have beautiful apples and plums. They're just really tasty this year.
Mm-hmm.
We would love to hear from you this morning. What's worked this year in your garden? You can text us 218-326-1234.
I'll be putting together some things for the webpage, where you can look up some of these things on the weed that I'm talking about, and solarization, and there's some really good sources out there for that.
Excellent. So with the growing season basically wrapping up, what are some things that plant enthusiasts can do now to get ready for the next season? Is it too early to start looking at, like, seed catalogs? Those won't come out till January, correct?
Well, the seed catalogs will come out in December, and I can't wait. But and then I set them aside, and it's a special day when I start ordering seeds for next year.
Mm-hmm.
So try to remove all of the weed seeds, all the brush, try to get them out of your garden right now before the seeds fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's too late for this weed. It seeds rapidly. Clean out. I try to put in fresh leaves every year. The leaves don't have from my yard aren't full of seeds. And I'll put that on top. I use a lot of that. I even wrap them up in a tarp and keep them for the whole year. So I always have some leaves to put on that are clean and pretty free of weed seeds.
Mm-hmm. And then also, so there's the phone number you can call for the master gardeners. And so even though it's the wrapping up of the gardening season,
mm-hmm.
there's still like houseplants to, if you have questions about it, you can still call in, correct?
Right. Our season for the hotline is coming to a close. We only have another week or two left of that. We don't do it all through the winter. But I'll make sure that's on the list there too. But it's coming to a close. We're finishing that up for the year.
Does the Master Gardener still meet during the off season?
Yes. We only take August off, and we're working hard during the fair during August.
Mm-hmm.
But we meet every month, and we're meeting tomorrow.
Oh.
So, and we're planning our next year's activities, the classes, which might include one on weeds here.
Yeah.
So
will you, when you're in your group with other master gardeners, will you admit how tough it was with the weeds?
We all know.
Ask other people?
I'm honest about
it. Okay.
Yeah. My corn was really small and very late, just barely got it through the season. It wasn't that warm.
Mm.
And the ears are small, but they're tasty.
Wow.
I can just eat two instead of one. So
we have been announcing that the applications are now open for University of Minnesota Extension Master Gardener Volunteer Program. The course starts in January. Deadline to apply is October 1st. You recommend it?
Yes, but I think the deadline is past year. Check the deadline. I think that's pretty much come to a close. Do it right now if you haven't.
It's z.umn.edu.
Excellent. So, well, Dan, thanks for coming up. Is there any upcoming Master Gardener events, or is it kind of the quiet time now until early next year?
We have some state programs going on, but I don't think we have anything for the local that I've seen on the schedule.
All right. Well,
so
Dan,
put your garden away. And that might be the topic of the next one, is how to put your garden away for the year. And we'll try to get to some of the weed control aspects of that in that program.
Well, our condolences over this weed that...
Thank you.
Followed you around this summer. Yeah, good to hear from you. And if folks want to weigh in as well, you can text 218-326-1234.
Now we're going to hear from Big Thief. This song is called Los Angeles.
floating image without sound. Park Avenue, 838, waving to my best friend like a soldier at the gate of tears. Feels like it's been 10 years. Has it only been 2 years? 2 years feels like forever, but I know you with that look and you call. We come together even without speaking. You sang for me. You sang.
Right, that was Big Thief with the song Los Angeles from their new album Double Infinity. Kind of a Big Thief morning.
There you go. They were featured earlier today on Morning Edition about this latest album. That's Andrew DeZingle. I'm Heidi Holton. We received support this morning from Lakes Tax Advisors.